Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, here's one more from the previous conversation that you can throw into the Facebook conversation if you want. Is Sandy funding sacred only when it benefits families who've been devastated out of their homes? Is it not so if the state funding was for longer-term future infrastructure resiliency projects? You get that distinction? Somebody on our team here threw that out. And so is it less of a scandal if the money that Governor Christie was held was not to get people back into their homes per se, but to build infrastructure for long-term resiliency in Hoboken? If it's that second scenario, do you go, huh? Okay, whatever. Talk about it at facebook.com/BrianLehrer WNYC. Tomorrow morning is the funeral of Avante Oquendo. The Oquendo story ended in tragedy this week, as you know, when DNA confirmed that body parts off the East River were from the body of the 14-year-old autistic child. Avante went missing in the fall after he walked out of the Riverview School in Long Island City, and our hearts go out to Avante Oquendo's family, of course. And let's use this opportunity to take a step back. If you care for a child, this situation is your worst nightmare. But autistic children are especially difficult to watch. The Interactive Autism Network says that nearly half of all autistic kids are prone to wandering, as they call it. Joining me now is Liz Feld. She's the president of the autism advocacy group Autism Speaks. Liz, thank you for coming on. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Brian, thanks so much for having me and for talking about this. It's a topic that parents of autistic individuals live with every day. I mean, it's a fear that they live with every day, and a concern. And the case of Avante has touched so many people, not just in New York but around the country. It's been heartbreaking for parents everywhere because, as you just said, it's their worst nightmare, and particularly for parents of autistic individuals because they are so vulnerable.
Right. And so we're going to go to some of the phone callers in a minute. Our lines are full at 212-433-WNYC. But is this kind of a teachable moment for you regarding autism with all this public sympathy and attention focused right now?
Most certainly, and it has to be. I mean, it's a crisis, and something good has to come of it, and obviously part of that is more awareness, but also it's an opportunity for us to educate school leaders, teachers, faculty, first responders, and communities, and parents around the country about the dangers of wandering, and also what kind of prevention and preventive measures can be taken so that we don't have more situations like Avante's. Because, you know, this is not a new issue for the autism community. You know, tragically, since 2011, 42 children have died after wandering. 42 autistic children have died. So, you know, that is not an insignificant number. In fact, it's startling. And it's, you know, 90% of those deaths were a result of drowning. So we are doing
really
a lot. Yes. And, you know, this is...
Why drowning? Because I'm sure people are wondering, well, of all the things that could have happened to Avante Oquendo, why did he wind up in the East River?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, first of all, many kids who wander are attracted to bodies of water. So they'll actually go there and they can't swim. In other cases, they are afraid of water and they haven't learned how to swim. A big part of the work we're doing now is providing water safety and swimming lessons for autistic individuals so that they can be safe in the water. And, you know, communication, as you said earlier, is one of the biggest challenges for many people with autism. It's a hallmark, you know, symptom or characteristic. And a third of the autism population is nonverbal. So you can imagine what it's like trying for somebody who's lost, who's autistic, to try to communicate that they can't swim or they're scared or they're hungry, but they are attracted to bodies of water. And they're also attracted to other things like trains and traffic and shiny objects. So water safety really is one of the areas where we can make a big difference. I mean, that's the good news there. There's a lot we can do. Mm. We're funding $200,000 worth of swimming lessons just this year alone for families that can't afford to do, you know, provide for them on their, you know, on their own, because it's certainly a measure that right now will make a difference.
How do you like that? That's a piece of this that probably people haven't thought about very much. Deborah in Pleasantville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm very, I have to apologize. I'm so emotional about this. As a parent of a child with autism, and I live in a town where autism is very prevalent, this is our worst nightmare. And my heart goes out to a bunch of parents. And I'm grateful that I live in a town where autism and children with autism are supported to the highest degree of the law and protected in our schools. And I really hope that they get to the bottom of how he walked out of that school.
What is protected? Deborah and I appreciate your, you know, fighting through the emotion to come on and express your sympathies. What do you, what defines well protected? What should people learn from how they do things in Pleasantville for other places?
We have the best support system and the best teachers. We have a very forward-thinking school district that has taken great pains, has done great research, and gone to great expense to be able to educate and protect children with disabilities at all levels and at all levels of the spectrum of autism. And we're very lucky in that way. And I'm very lucky to live in this place, but I am relatively affluent, so I can't. But there are many people who cannot live someplace like that. And all of those children should be given the benefit of what we have learned, you know, in the suburbs, and particularly in Pleasantville, which is such a small town that we don't have school buses. So we decided to become a magnet for children with special needs instead of shipping our kids out of district. It's a great, great privilege. Right. And the teachers that my child has had have made the greatest difference in her life, much greater difference than any advocacy of mine.
Deborah, thank you so much. Hang in there. Maria in Morris Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Oh, my goodness. It's so sad to be on the show, but I'm so glad I was able to contact you. And my son was left when he was very little by the bus driver, first day of school, at home, when nobody was home. He understood that we were going to be home. And he was supposed to do the daycare, after daycare.
Your son has autism?
Yes. And it would not be because of my neighbor who was driving his baby from the doctor and saw him wandering around. He parked, came over and rescued him. He could have been lost. He could have been not alive today. So my heart goes to the family and to tell them that, and to all of us, we have to be more compassionate. Let's don't look at what kids with autism, such as they are different, weird, and put it aside. Let's welcome them into our society. Let's embrace them. Let's be part of everything and keep an eye on them. Whatever the mistake happened, he is not alive anymore, and nobody can replace it anymore for this young boy. And if we, all of us, consider them our children, we can save lives. Like your guest said, it's 24/7. You have to be vigilant. But parents do get tired as well, and we have to go to work. We have to be out there, and they grow. And thank goodness mine is a blessing, and he's doing so wonderful. My Parsippany district is amazing. Like the previous caller, we're so blessed. But there are other kids that they don't. Maybe they have broken families because maybe mine is an immigrant. He speaks only English, but he was learning some Spanish with me, and he can get confused very easily. Mm-hmm. He's too innocent. He's 12 years old. He's so talented, but he's so innocent. He will trust anybody. So if all of us, we help each other, we can save lives, and we pray that those parents would have the strength to keep going.
Beautiful, Maria. Thank you very much. So shout-outs for Parsippany and Pleasantville from two parents. Huh, Liz Felt?
So many good points made here. You know, first of all, you know, as Deborah was saying about her school district, and that's so important. You know, every child with special needs goes to school with an IEP, an individualized education plan. And it's the responsibility of the faculty, the administrators, and every teacher there to understand what's in that IEP for these children. And in Avante's case, clearly he had communication issues. He's walking down the hall. He can't talk. He should, when he was seen and actually approached by somebody in the administration in the hallway, they should have known that he couldn't speak for himself. And he walked right out that door without somebody stopping him. So that's the responsibility of, the people, you know, who are charged with keeping him safe. But what the last caller just said is so important, too. You know, we parents, when they move into a neighborhood, for them to notify their first responders, notify their neighbors, notify the schools about the needs of their children is so important. Because, you know, if you see a young child or even a young adult who's autistic walking down the street, if a parent has said, you know, that's unsafe, that it's dangerous, somebody else will do something about it. So to let everybody know in the community around you that that your child has some special needs is very important, because the compassion piece will be there, the awareness. People will know how to respond if they see something out of the ordinary, you know, behavior out of the ordinary. There's a lot that can be done up front to educate people about what the challenges and needs are of autistic individuals and what can be done to keep them safe.
Sarah in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm the mom of an absolutely amazing, incredible, sensitive, darling, delicious 4-year-old boy with autism. And when we got the diagnosis about a year ago, we were devastated, but he is just a wonderful person, and, you know, autism is a small part of who he is. I just wanted to say that in regards to Avante, my heart just broke when I, you know, a few days ago or last week when the news was breaking that they found his body. And the one heartening thing in all of this is the way that the city has seemed to come together. I mean, out here in Glen Cove at the library, someone had posted a sort of sticker with information about Avante, and just all around Glen Cove and other places I've traveled to, stores and all over, and it indicates to me that there is a wider awareness and acceptance of autistic people and more value, because sadly, you know, 50 years ago, people with disabilities were not valued in society enough. And of course, we have a long way to go. But I mean, it just seems to show a step forward in including people, mm-hmm. people. And, you know, I would like to hope that any other 14-year-old boy with autism or not, or any child that went missing in New York, regardless of whether they had a disability or not, would be searched for equally.
Yes, Sarah, I'm going to leave it there because our time is running out, but thank you so much. And Liz Feld from Autism Speaks, do you agree that this has been a special moment that's going to result in a silver lining of more inclusiveness, more awareness, more understanding, more positivity?
Well, yeah, I think one of the reasons this story has resonated is that this child was in a place where he should have been safe. Every parent thinks when their child's in school that they're safe from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So whether your child's autistic or not, there's a presumption. So the fact that this vulnerable child still met such a horrible fate is just resonated everywhere. We just announced yesterday a partnership we're doing with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They are an extraordinary organization, and we are going to do education and awareness of community organizations, school personnel, first responders, caregivers all around this country, so we can make sure that there's a real understanding about both the dangers and also what prevention measures can be taken to make sure.
And we saw the page on your website related to that, that has resources that can help parents and first responders and schools and others prevent wandering. And we saw that some of the suggestions include two-way locks and deadbolts, tracking devices, and ID bracelets. Are you recommending that as a policy change for schools?
Well, but we're recommending mandatory training for schools right away. You know, the two-way locks is something that parents live with at home all the time. I mean, the bolting is so common, you know, wandering so common that parents are forced to sometimes lock their kids in their rooms just to keep them safe. Door chimes, we also we actually distribute those in these big red safety boxes so that parents can be alerted if a door or window is opened by a child with autism. So there are all of those measures. Tracking devices, the same thing. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all answer to this. This has to be a multi-pronged approach. Safety generally is anyway, but certainly in this case. Tracking devices are tricky because a lot of autistic individuals have sensory issues and they don't want to wear a bracelet or they'll take off a device, but that they will work for other cases. So that's one piece also. So all these things can help. Our website, like you said, autismspeaks.org, has plenty of tips, but we're doing the outreach because not everyone's just going to come to the website. So we will go community by community and do our part to educate everybody who's in a position to help.
And where should people go for more information before you go?
Autismspeaks.org, that's our website. And there's information about both those safety tips and also wandering in general and things that can be done. And also information for anyone who does want swimming lessons. We're offering those. As I said, you can apply. And there are other things that we can do to help. So go right to the website.
Liz Feld is the president of the autism advocacy group, Autism Speaks. Again, sorry it's under these circumstances that you join us today, but maybe it is a teachable moment. Maybe people are learning things. Maybe the community is coming together in a way it hasn't before around the death of Avante Okendo and therefore around all kids with similar conditions. And we will all learn from this and do better for this. Let's hope that his death at least gives us that. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And the New York City MTA and the police, they should all be credited for an incredible response. Really, that was unprecedented, and that's something else, a message that I think everybody else around the country got also.
It's really true. And, you know, subway posters, police divers, bloodhounds to track down his scent. On my A train coming in the morning, I think it was personal for the conductor. He kept reading that announcement weeks and weeks and weeks after I stopped hearing it on other trains. And it was just, you know, it was beautiful to me when he would come out with, you know, there was a missing child, he's 14 years old, he was last seen wearing this and this, and just that that outpouring that we saw on official and unofficial.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It touched so many people very personally and profoundly.
Thanks again, Liz.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have David Remnick coming up after the news.